Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 11th, 2014. Saints, the world is in turmoil, and most don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And before I go on, I want to say today is 9/11, and it's centered on our other radio program, but they do call this now Patriot Day, not Patriots Plural Day, but Patriot Day, and that it's to honor those that died at 9/11 in 2001. And so our prayers do still go out to the families and to America who is still suffering from that. And whether you realize it or not, there was so much hurt that went out from it. America changed in so many different ways. So many different things changed. So lift your brothers and sisters up. Lift those families up. Lift your country up. But whatever you do, get in prayer. Anyway, the phone number, of course, again, is 620-878-4682. Emergency again, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is prophecyhour.com. prophecyhour.com. And I'd also like to point out that our program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com, as well as you can just click on a link and listen to them live. But there's also a link which says End Time Archives, and that'll take you to branch.podomatic.com. Now, both prophecyhour.com and branch.podomatic.com are both smartphone friendly. In fact, at branch.podomatic.com, they have an Apple app and an Android app on Google Play. So listen up. I mean, really, you folks out there, I challenge you to ask your friends, because right now I hear about 50% of the people that listen to radio listen from the internet and listen on their smartphones. So pray about it. But I pray that you would share with others these radio programs, especially when it's so simple. Okay, now a prayer. And again, I am so far today, I am thankful. Here in Florence, it's a little after 7 o'clock, and we still have not heard of any terrorist attacks or anything happening today. And so I am thankful for that. Now a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father God, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine, because I really don't know anything, Father. And I just ask that you would give our radio guests the right words to say and give everybody out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in your son's mighty son's name, Yeshua HaMashiach, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is a pleasure to me. He is a minister and co-founder of the Church of God Ministries International. He's been an ordained minister for 20 years and has been on radio with us before. And you know what? I had a fellow that just emailed me a little bit ago and said he wished that he would like to hear from an ordained minister that wasn't self-ordained, and Well, brother, here it is. Here's a minister that's been ordained for 20 years, and he's going to warn you. Anyway, last time we talked about the trouble with Islam and what he called the threat of evil, in which in that he proves that Muslim, the trouble with the Muslims was forewarned in Genesis. Well, of course it is, and I agree with that, but you should go over and listen to the program, because it still is in our times. He's a real busy guy, so I'm really surprised we got him tonight. Some of his responsibilities are to serve as director of operations, write a monthly newsletter for the mailing list, produce quarterly magazine for the church. He also produces sermons and Bible studies, and you other ministers out there, you know how much time that can take you. The Church of God International has ministers and small congregations scattered around the United States, Canada, Trinidad, and Kenya. And I bet you could find them other places than that. Even if they aren't huge congregations, I bet you can find followers of the Church of God. Anyway, if you folks are out there and not really familiar with them, they believe in Saved by Grace. They are Sabbath keepers and biblical holy day keepers. And so, you know, you should get along well with him. Anyway, check him out. Tonight we're going to talk about his new book, I think, which is Blood Moon's Tetrad, The Perfect Storms. And that is if something in the breaking news doesn't interfere. So let's welcome Tom Carey. Are you there with me, Tom?
Hello, Pastor Dan. Yeah, this is Tom. It's a pleasure to be back. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's a real pleasure to have you back. And I think you're just what the folks need to hear. In fact, I was praying about who to have on that day, and then I got a hold of you, and I sent you an email, and you got right back with me pretty quick. And so I'm real blessed having you on, and we're going to have you back on October 2nd, isn't it?
October 2nd, right. We're going to be actually we're going to talk on October 2nd. A program we were filming today in the studios on the rise of evil, which is actually a documentary style follow up on the threat of evil from a couple years ago. Because everything we talked about then is actually taking place now.
Right.
And so we were doing an update from a different version, a different style, in a more graphic style video, and we're going to talk about that. God willing, everything goes well, and we'll have it all ready to go by October 2nd.
Well, amen. Well, I'm looking forward to that. But, I hadn't had a chance to get this book yet. I hadn't even realized that you wrote it yet, which I'm going to remind you again. Whenever you update and do something new, you send me an email and let me know what's going on so I can get a copy of it or whatever, and so we can have you back on. Blood Moon's...
I'll be sure to do that. I look forward to it.
Yeah, amen. Blood Moon's Tetrad and the Perfect Storm. Well, the cover knocked me over. What's the book about?
I tell you what, this actually is the first book I've ever written, and I got into it to try to disprove, believe it or not, all that what I thought was just a lot of nonsense that was out in the open market.
Yeah.
If you remember a couple years ago, we were in a storm of so many false prophecies. The Mayan calendar was on the front of what was going on, and I was actually contacted by the people hired by the History Channel. They wanted to come down here and do a new documentary on the Four Horsemen because they were getting ready for the hype of the Mayan calendar. So I said, my goodness. Everybody's looking for all this false nonsense. And the problem I have as a pastor is you're trying to give information that's biblically factual. And so we had the Mayan calendar going on in 2012. You had Harold Campy, who has passed away, who prophesied at the end of the world and Christ was coming back May 21st, 2011. A smaller, not as known prophet, calling himself a prophet. Well, May 23rd, Ron Wineland, the world was coming to an end. So when you put all these things together, and I began hearing a couple of years ago about the Blood Moon Tetrads.
Right.
And I was listening to the way the people were portraying these moons and said, oh, here we go again. And the concern I have is that every time you have someone who just runs rampant on these false prophecies, it turns people away from God, and it really doesn't help trying to warn the true picture of what really is coming.
Right.
So I got into writing this. Well, you know, I've had enough. So I got into try to disprove the Blood Moon Tetrad.
Yeah.
So in the, this is funny, Pastor Dan, because I was going through my research, right? A lot of the information which we can talk about tonight, which I'd like to share, it was actually documented to be correct. The problem was, is the hype of everybody who had books, and several people were really pushing it hard. Fox News was pushing it, and they were all pushing all the events that was going to take place, and we'll go through the specifics in just a second because we got them in the book, were going to take place right before the Blood Moon Tetrad began in the spring of this year. All right, the funny thing was, as soon as the first Blood Moon Tetrad came and went, everybody who had their books and that were on the market, they immediately went to half price because most of what they said didn't happen.
Yeah, absolutely. You noticed that right off the bat, too, huh?
Yeah. So fortunately, our approach when I did the research, I said, listen, even if the information they have is correct, what they're talking about is wrong. The warnings are wrong. And so we're the only book that I know of. I could be wrong here, but because I went through some of the others that were out there that were very popular. And all the information they did focused on the events that led up to the Blood Moons. But in my research, and from the years that I've been studying and working with prophecy, the events that were important wasn't the actual Blood Moons themselves. It were the events that were going to follow the Blood Moons.
Right.
I believe that's what we propose and prove in the book, which is, by the way, a little over a couple hundred pages.
Right. Let me throw something in here real quick. While I interviewed several different people on the Blood Moons, the original person that discovered the thing about the Blood Moons, Mark Blitz, said it was what was going to happen between the Blood Moons and basically deal with Israel, and that Israel usually always came out on top, but they would go through some wars. That was kind of the toned down basics. He didn't say there was going to be a rapture. He didn't say the world was going to blow up, but he said some things were going to happen with Israel. Well, then people like John Hagee and some of these others, there's a torrent of these books out that came out and did as you said and ran away with it.
Mark Blitz, to his credit, Mark's actually the one who actually came across this information of the Blood Moons, the patterns in the skies, and how things fell. And he actually began talking about it in 2008. So here's what I gave him credit for. In 2008, he alluded to, and this was, he never did say that Christ was going to come back, but his statement was that this could herald in what has come to be known as the second coming of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that was his initial statement. And in 2008, when you looked 7 years out, and with the financial collapse of 2008, the world global economic problems we were facing, the Islamic situation in the Middle East, Iran getting nuclear power or trying to get nuclear power, when he looked ahead, you know, you can look at, hey, there's a problem coming. But what I liked is what you just said, is that as time went on, a couple years ago, it became obvious we have not even hit to the tribulation. So there's still at least 3.5 years before that took place. So we had more time than he originally thought. So he came back with another statement just a couple years later and said, this could be the final curtain call before the Great Tribulation.
Right.
So I admire a man who actually puts a warning out and looks at the warnings. And at the same time, if they don't go that way, say, okay, well, we got more time. You know, this could happen here. And that's a great approach.
Yeah, he did correct himself. In fact, he came on my program, and I had him on just right before the DVD and the book came out. You know, the DVD came out from WorldNet Daily, and I watched the DVD. And, you know, he does allude to, you know, prior trouble. And he does a good, in the DVD, he did a really good comparison of what happened before on him and what could possibly happen now. Right after the Blood Moon, we did see some war in Israel that I don't believe is over yet. But this is about your book. Let's go on.
Oh, okay. All right. So first of all, for the audience who doesn't know what the Blood Moon Tetrad is, let me give that explanation. First of all, a blood moon is a full lunar eclipse. And so as the moon comes across as a full moon, the Earth crosses in front of the sun, and through the prismal change of the light, as the rays go around the Earth, it actually takes the moon and removes a lot of the deeper rays, and what you have left is red. The red rays, when you see that coming across, and that's what makes the moon look red as it comes across. So that's what they call a blood moon. And this can normally happen at least twice a year on the patterns that God has set into the heavens for the celestial bodies. So now, what a tetrad is four blood moons, two blood moons on each of the year, one in the spring, one in the fall, on back-to-back years. All right, so four of them is labeled as a tetrad. So what they call it is the four, which is basically like a nickname, the four blood moon tetrads. Two blood moons each year on back-to-back days. All right, so that began the information of the tetrads. And so if you went to NASA, and this is what Mark did, he went to NASA and he was able to go back through history, and you would find that if you went back and you were looking for four tetrads back to the time of Christ, you would have quite a number, actually, that would actually took place. But here was the irony of it. Of all the tetrads that took place, only six had taken place where the full moons, the blood tetrads, back-to-back years, actually fell on God's annual high holy days. All right, now that's what sparked the interest. And on top of that, on those specific days, three of those days fell right after specific historical events that involved Israel and the Jews.
Right.
And so that's what began the information. When you looked ahead, there was still one set of tetrads that's going to happen in this century that was coming. And we are in that period right now. The tetrads on the 2 years are 2014 and 2015. The very first one was in the spring, and the second, by the way, comes up at the end of this month, September 28th. All right, September 28th will come in. I believe it's a holy day. Is it September 28th or 25th?
Let me look. I'll pull my calendar. If you can keep talking, it'll only take a second. September
20th.
Okay, September 25th, which is start to dark the night before, is Feast of Trumpets, and then on October 9th is Sukkot, and Yom Kippur's on October 4th.
That's correct. So actually, the trumpets on the tabernacles will actually be the next blood moon that's coming for this year.
Oh, it's on October 9th?
Let me get back to my calendar too. We have it. I've got it on. I'm looking at 2015. That's where I'm on. October 8th.
Oh, 2015. I'm looking in 2014. So okay, I'm off.
I'm looking at next year. October 8th, 2014. The Feast of Tabernacles is when we'll have the second one for the fall for this year.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, you're right. I go along with the same calendar you use. Amen.
We do use the same ones.
Well, you know how many different calendars there are out there now?
Well, you know what else helped me? I mean, one of those little side benefits when you start studying this kind of information is that God is the author of time. And to have these events actually fall on those specific days, on the holy days, When a lot of people say, no, you're using the wrong calendar, it should be the day later or 2 days before.
Right.
I'm looking at the moon in the falling of these specific days on that holy day, and I think God knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, amen. And I can look at my telephone, and it does the same thing. You know, it has a moon calendar, and it says when it's supposed to be full, and it works with the calendar I'm sorry I'm laughing so much about that, but when I first started keeping the holy days, you know, there really wasn't, there wasn't all these other calendars, you know what I'm saying? I either could go two places to find a calendar. I could go to the Church of God and find a calendar, or I could go back to a Jewish site and, you know what I mean, and find a calendar. But then the Hebrew Roots thing started in, and you know, there's some of them that can even are even a month off, Tom. It's unbelievable.
Right. Yeah.
And it brought so much separation between so many people. Anyway, but go on. Here I am talking too much. We got
No, that's fine. I appreciate that. Well, I'm going to get into a couple of specific events, because what finally put me into the research and actually starting to work with the book was to disprove a lot of the nonsense that so many people out there were saying was going to happen at these blood moons. For example, even before the first blood moon took place this year, they were predicting that this was going to be the return of Christ. And that was absolutely insane if you understand anything about prophecy. And so what really got me interested in putting all of these things together is we had done a lot of research in understanding the biblical significance of the finances and the economics of the nations. And it was actually through Jonathan Kahn that I was not aware of the dates of the falling of what they call the Shemitah years. Because many of these events of what we're looking for with the holy days and with the blood moons began to coincide with what they would call as the Shemitah year. And the Shemitah year is what they would call in Israel as the year of release. And that would take place every seventh year. And so, for example, 2001, there would be a time of releasing of debt. And we look at 2001, there was a huge financial collapse within just days of the September 11th, the bombing of the Twin Towers and the Pentagon. And so in 2008, in the Shemitah year also, was the biggest economic collapse that we've had since the Depression in 1929.
Okay, so stop right there. We got about 30 seconds before break. We've been having a good time. We've already did the first half of the program. Give your website, and then we'll go to break. And when we come back, I promise I'm going to let you talk and tell your anyway, what's the website?
Okay, you can go to our website. The easiest way to find it is the GUCW, which is called God's Unchanging Word. GUCW.org. That will take you to all of our prophecy programs. It will also take you to the church website, the God's Unchanging Word.org.
Yeah, I really love that, God's Unchanging Word. Well, folks, we're going to be unchanged, but we're going to try and be back in 3 minutes. We'll be right back.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Closed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. And first thing I want to say, because of a comment that somebody sent me, they thought that I was trying to earn my way to heaven. No, by no means do I earn my way. I'm not trying to earn my way to heaven. The reason that we help the homeless and the poor is not only the Father kept me up all night and told me to do it, but it's because we're being allowed to serve Him. We serve Him because we love Him. We keep His commandments because we love Him, not because it's a burden or we're trying to earn our way to heaven, because we can't earn our way to heaven. We do these things because we love Him. And, you know, what better way of expression than helping His people? But anyway, remember to pray tonight about a donation so we can help the people that the Father sends us. And why do so many people come to us? Well, love, that's the first answer. And then they're really treated as family. You know, most of the people that come in the door call us and mom. It's either Pastor Dan or else mom and dad, mom and dad. And, or, well, there's grandpa, you know, all the little children come in and say, there's your grandpa and there's grandma. And that's how they feel towards us. That's family love. We give them that kind of love, and that's what God's love is, the Father. His love, that's what it's all about, is family. It's about family. You need to understand that. If you don't understand that, then you're missing. And you need to have a close relationship with your Father, because that's what He is to you. Anyway, over there we don't have any set guidelines like programs. One of the programs that I have are radio programs. And people just walk in the door and ask for what they need. That's the rule. We have a way to fill it. We give it to them. If we don't, we pray it in. And this is why even the agencies, at least their employees, tell the people about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the very last hope for so many. And, folks, we're all responsible to care one for another, as we're all our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help. And the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. And, of course, you should always start helping the people in your family first, and then stressed out from your family, those that are around you. But pray about it. If you can make a donation, we can use it. Anyway, you can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. Or if you have to, you can call me at 620-878-4682 if you need to, because I realize that there's at least 15% of you people out there, at least from what I hear, that don't do the internet. So you might be listening on satellite or telephone or something. So if you need to, call me. Anyway, we're having a real good program with Tom Carey, and I hope he's still hanging on over there. So you still with me, Tom?
I'm still here, Pastor Dan.
All right, amen. You were just starting to take us in, really starting to take us into the tetrads and so on. So I'm just going to let you take back over, and I'm going to sit back and listen for a while.
Okay, I'd be glad to. The interest that most people focused on the blood tetrads were the events of the last three blood tetrads. And for the audience who don't know about this, they're the ones that have, there was three tetrads, first one 1493, 1494, then 1949, 1950, 1967, 1968. And the reason I got into looking into it is that the way this was being portrayed to most people is that these blood tetrads, they were warnings of things that would happen. And the problem I had with that is that the events that was being portrayed took place before the warning. And it reminded me of that joke that when somebody's lost on the bus, and he said, "Hey, can you tell me where to get off on, let's say, Fifth Street?" And the person on the bus says, "Sure, just watch me and get off the stop before I do." So when you think,
I never thought of it that way, but you're right. That's insane. Okay, well, go ahead. I promise.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I said I promised to shut up, and you're making me laugh.
Well, I was laughing too. It's like, well, wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense. If these are warnings to what's about to happen, then God missed the boat again. And so I began looking, and they only focused on those three. And so if there's a pattern, and by the way, there is a pattern, but it wasn't being talked about. And so I went back and looked through all the three previous tetrads that fell on the holy days. And there is one pattern that is actually holding true today. There was a surge of persecution of God's people before these events took place. All right, so here's what we're looking at. In every single tetrad of these six that's already happened, and now we're into the seventh, what have we been witnessing in the last couple of years? A rise in persecution of Christianity at large, and a rise of persecution in anti-Semitism in Israel. So anything that is directly related to or associated to God is coming under attack. And that is the pattern that took place from all the history that I can go back and even into now, the time before Christ. Because you see, even Israel went into captivity, not following a tetrad, but following the blood moons in 721 B.C. And so what we're looking at right now is that these events is what we believe and what I put in the book are forward-looking, is that these events triggered a phase that God is moving into the next step of his plan for salvation. So let me give you an example. In 1949 and 1950, the State of Israel came into being. Had the State of Israel had not had an actual physical state, the prophecies could not be fulfilled. So it was obvious that Satan knows the plan of God far better than we do. And so when God is ready to begin his next plan or the next step, it is like Satan's there to create as much havoc and to destroy as much as he can before that event takes place. For example, when Jesus Christ was born, they slaughtered all the male babies from 2 years and under. At the time of Moses, who pictured the type of Christ, there was a slaughter of all the babies, or the male babies, even during his time. And so it's Satan's way of destroying what God's plan is. So before the State of Israel came into being, we have the rise of Hitler, the persecution of the Jews, which filtered into the Middle East, which rose up to stop Israel from being coming into a state. All right, so that's one example. In 1967 and 68, immediately following the war with Israel, who gained control of Jerusalem at that particular time, the blood moons took place again. So we're looking at, right before those events, again, the persecution of three nations coming together to destroy Israel before God can set his plan in action. What took place there? They captured Jerusalem, and for the first time in modern day, Israel actually controlled the entire city of Jerusalem. Now, why is that important? Because of the prophecies that Jesus Christ gave in Luke 21 and Matthew 24. In Luke 21, he says, "And when you shall see armies surrounding Jerusalem, then know the end is near." For that prophecy to come to pass, Israel had to take back and be in control of Jerusalem. And so these events, when you see all of this, for example, the other one with Christopher Columbus, the event of the Blood Moons in 1493 and 1494 followed the expulsion of the Jews from Spain and Columbus actually settling in America, which was necessary to have an end-time work, an end-time prophecy, an end-time free nation to warn the world of the return of Jesus Christ, that it needs to have a repentance. And God says there has to be a repentance and a warning before he returns. Without America existing, that could not have been fulfilled either. So, what I believe we're looking at is everything is forward-looking. Now, that's pretty ominous for us today, because what we're looking at now, we're looking at a time unprecedented in modern-day history that could be at our doorstep over the next few years.
Okay.
So, and this is the concern that we have, and what I wrote in this book, and that's what I was alluding to right before break, is the Shemitah year. So do we have a minute to talk about that now?
Yeah, go right ahead. I'm intently listening to you.
Oh, okay. So here's what we're facing. In 2007, I woke up one morning, and I get up early in the mornings, and I watch the financial networks, and I watch the national news, the international news. And I normally like to watch the financial networks is because they can lie about a lot of things, from our government, the administration, the news media. But one thing usually doesn't lie, when you follow the money.
Right.
That usually tells you where things are going. And so when I was watching it, I woke up, it was early in the morning that day, probably 5 o'clock, and the central banking system, the governors of the central banking systems, had just came out of an all-night session. That doesn't happen. And a few minutes later, we're looking over in Europe, and the European central banks are doing the exact same thing. What happened is that the dollars had drawn up. The smoking gun was the economic system of the housing market that had generated trillions of dollars being sold through derivatives and all the means that they were doing to raise money on properties and values that did not exist, to the tune of trillions and trillions of dollars. And so what happened is, like this giant Ponzi scheme all of a sudden began to dry up, and there was no money. And so everything around the world was locking up and coming to a halt. In a matter of just hours, trillions of dollars was lost economically around this world. In a matter of just hours. So when I looked into that, we began, in fact, it was one of the first messages that we put out, a warning about the economic collapse in 2007. When they came back and they said, "We're in good shape, everything's fine, we saved the day." We told, and we went on the air, and we told everybody, "They're lying to you. We are not in good shape." And so we began warning right then to get your houses in order. Less than a year later, it all came tumbling down. That was 7 years ago, next year.
Right.
So when we look back over these periods of 2001 and the financial collapse of 2001, and that was baby, that was just baby talk compared to what happened in 2008. In 2015, and this is what everybody needs to really be concerned about. In 2015, we will have several things lining up. It will be another what's called the Shemitah year, or a time of the release, the time of no work, time of debt release. In other words, this could be another time of calamity. And what happened in the last two Shemitah years on what's called the Day of Elul, Elul 29, which is the day before trumpets, because trumpets is the first month of the new year, the seventh month, at the close of that previous month, all debt would be released, you know, every 7 years. 2015 is another one of those years. Economically, I don't care if your listeners are listening to the news, they're listening to the stock market, and they're listening to Wall Street beating their breasts and clapping their hands. The monies that are out there, the economics of what's sustaining this market is the U.S. government, who's pumping in $65 billion every single month. Every
right.
month they're putting out, to the tune that your children, grandchildren, and mine are going to have to pay for. Where are they going to get this much money? Who knows? To the tune of almost $1 trillion a year just to keep the economics going. Just for that one point alone.
That's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable. Their own people tell you it's not sustainable. So here's what we've got another lining up, and it may be our own government who's trying to save us, who's actually going to bring our own house down, is that next year, on the fourth blood moon, it will follow a Shemitah year, Elul 29, at a debt that's going to be over $18 trillion. By that time, many things could happen. If the foreign countries decide that the U.S. dollar is no longer going to be the standard upon which the world builds around, we will come down in a day. That's all it would take.
Right.
Is the rest of the world say, okay, the dollar is no longer the standard for society. That means all our debt from that day on becomes worthless. No one will continue to support America. The other interesting thing about that date on the fourth blood moon is that it is the only blood moon. This is really interesting how God lines these things up. It is the only blood moon that will actually be seen of this tetrad from Israel.
That's really
what that means. It's very interesting. What that means, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought you were going to tell me. See what kind of guy you are. You know what? And there's a difference between you and these other guys. Somebody else which wrote some of these books, and I won't pick out which one. Oh, I could pick out probably a dozen. They would have made up something and said, this is what's going to happen. You know what I mean? And then they always make excuses when it doesn't happen, you know.
Right.
But
it's always that way. It is always that way. But here's the other things that begin to line up between 2015 and 2020. And this is what's very ominous to me, is that we come into a 50-year period or a jubilee period of the establishment of the State of Israel.
Right.
We're coming to a 70-year period of the establishment of Israel. It is a 50-year jubilee from 1967 to 2017, which is a jubilee, which I think Israel is declaring as their jubilee since they retook Jerusalem.
Right.
So you've got a 70-year period of time. So when we go back to 1949, somewhere in that period, Christ had made a statement to his apostles before when he was walking through on and talking about Jerusalem, and he said, when all these things happen, he said, this generation shall not pass till these things be fulfilled.
Right.
So what he was talking about, when it was possible to annihilate all mankind off the face of the earth, when that took place, that generation shall not pass till those things be fulfilled.
Right.
Somewhere around. Now this is another one of those interesting things that you gotta bring them out, and then you just gotta leave them and pray about. Is
right.
that from that time till now, we will enter in a 70-year period of time that God gave a generation. And remember, God says it's, you know, appointed a man, you know, to 70, and perhaps
right.
maybe 10 more years. So from the time when there was enough nuclear weapons amassed that can destroy the entire face of the earth and every man in it, from that time to now, somewhere between 47, 48, 50, 51, that period of 7 years we're coming up to now.
Yeah.
So you got a huge amount of alignments of prophetic possibilities all lining up.
Okay, well, let's throw something else into this mix. The Middle East. Now, you know why? You know, I don't like dictators, but the dictators of the Middle East were actually what was keeping down what's going on right now. You understand what I'm saying? And these dictators have been taken out, and now with this Arab, I don't call it Arab Spring, but this realignment of the Arabic nations is like a realignment into what it would have to be for end time events. Do you believe that?
Absolutely. In fact, that's what we would do today in our filming. We were talking about that this may have, what we're looking, watching right now through this alignment is the beginning or the establishment or the talk for a king of self. In other words, an alignment of all these nations coming together to fight. And so I believe exactly what you're saying. Two things had to happen, and I support exactly what you just said, is that in the United States power, they remove the dictators who actually controlled the Middle East and kept it stable.
Right.
And now, because we've turned our backs on God, we are no longer able to stay in there with the evil we have unleashed.
Right. Because we're not righteous. Our army isn't right. Let's go. Let me throw this in here. Our army isn't righteous. You know, and there's biblical precedents, and it's in the book of Joshua. It talks about the army wasn't correct. It had sin in it, so they lost the battle. Our army is full of openly homosexual, so on and so forth, people. The army is not righteous. It's not blessed by a righteous king or ruler, nor by a righteous nation, you know. And so, you know, we're not going to be victorious, so to speak. But then you also have a president that, did you hear him last night? He had enough audacity to say ISIS wasn't Islamic. You know, where did that come from?
Well,
I'm not
Baptist,
somebody
told me today.
Really? I mean, not as long. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, there's been more damage done by this administration in the few years he's been in office than in modern history.
Okay, but listen to me. Listen to this. In order for biblical prophecy to go forward, I believe that we had to have a president that would turn away from Israel and allow these things to realign themselves in the Middle East to happen to realign for this. I believe that we had to have this kind of a president, and the people that voted for him, I mean, they got what they deserved. I mean, you know, people weren't paying attention to him being righteous, so they got an unrighteous ruler. Back to you.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and listen to this. What you're saying is absolutely true. And when you look at the prophecies of Esau, and Esau said that you would dwell in the fat places of the earth. And so the Islamic spirit, the nation that would rise up, would be in all of these nations around the earth, so that if Israel, or the modern-day people who follow Christ, let's just say it that way, if Amen. They ever turn from God, that they would rise up from within us and destroy us. And it would take a God, ungodly president to lead us in that direction. And that's exactly what's happening today.
Amen. I couldn't have said it better if I said it myself.
That's exactly what's going on right now. And God warned, and it told Esau, and it says, the way it's worded is an end-time prophecy, and it says, and when you have broken the yoke off your neck, you will rise up and be the aggressor.
Amen. Exactly. I want to switch gears for a second. I want you to talk a little bit about the Church of God International. I want to know what people to expect, and I want to know how they can find maybe a group in their area. And, you know, I already said you keep the Sabbath and you keep peace. Tell them a little bit about it. You got about probably 4 minutes to do that. We didn't do this before.
Okay, we've been really blessed as a church. It's called the Church of God Ministries International. If they went online, they can find us called the COGMI, which is the acronym for the name, thecogmi.org. And we're a group of churches, individual churches, the and with churches that carry the actual name. But over the last few years, we've had a very large amount of independent Church of God congregations who are Seventh-day keepers, who keep God's holy days, who believe in the return of Jesus Christ. And so we have come together, and we have been able to develop the websites for them. We have an outreach ministry through God's Unchanging Word, which is the title for our it's an internet television show, which has actually really taken off this year for us really, really well. And so people can find us. They'll find congregations that's scattered all over the United States of families, loving families, friends, and people who come together every Sabbath to worship, to spend time. We keep the feast. We keep the Feast of Tabernacles, the Holy Days, pretty much what you would find in the Old Testament. There's many congregations scattered all over the country.
And this isn't a new thing. I mean, you know, it's just like you've been the Church of God ever since it came into existence has kept the Sabbath and kept, you know, His holy days. But the actually, folks, the Church of God goes clear back. When that was covered by, her name slipped my mind. You know, she came on my radio program and gave the history, and she used your church, in fact, for the phone. Who am I talking about?
Linda Watson.
She gave a wonderful history about, the Church of God. You know what I mean? And how it went back.
She's a fabulous history teacher.
You know, yeah,
I
amen.
I was on this program the other day, and I think I get more from her than she gets from me.
Yeah, I sit and listen to her. I'm just fascinated. But anyway, brother, we're going to talk again on October 2nd. And folks, I strongly encourage you to go to GUCW.org. And of course, if you're listening to us in radio archives, you're going to find a link there. But go over there and check them out and get this book. And exactly what's the name of the book?
It's called The Blood Moon Tetraz, The Perfect Storm. And you can find it at Amazon Bookstore, or you can find it at Legends Library, who's actually the publisher, legendslibrary.org. And I just found out just the other day it's on Hebrew Nation. I didn't realize they were carrying it.
Well, amen. I'd like to ask a special favor. I'd like to see if you would autograph me a copy and send it to me. I'd gladly pay for it, but I would like to have an autograph copy to put in my collection of books and to read it, if at all possible.
Oh, absolutely. I just talked to the publisher the other day because I was out over here, and you sending me another 100 books. So I'd be glad, Pastor Dan, to get that off to you as soon as I get them.
Okay, well, brother, thanks for the wonderful program, and we'll talk again on October 2nd, and you be blessed, my brother.
Thank you very much. Appreciate being here.
All right, bye-bye. Well, folks, Tom Carey, Blood Moon Tetrads, a good book. He started to write the book to disprove all the stuff. He didn't know he was going to write a book and really find out about stuff, you know. So that's a book to get, you know. So go over and get the book, check them out, see what they're about. And, you know, I know a lot of people like to keep the feast and things, and they don't go into some of the Hebrew roots places because they are too Jewish for them, so to speak. The Church of God, they keep the feast, they keep the Sabbath. And, you know, they worship like, you know, like, I guess just like what you'd call Americans without the Jewish influence, you know what I mean? But they sing some wonderful music, and, wow, I got to really get out of here. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave His life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, is the way to the Father. Again, always be a blessing to others. Pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We really need your help. Or support airtime. Dear Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.